In the name of the living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. What a beautiful day, beautiful time of year. Even though it is the season of Lent, we know we are rapidly approaching the great celebration of Easter, but we have to get through Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday before we can actually celebrate. Just on a personal note, when it comes to displays of power, I'm enraptured. What I mean by power is not political power or feats of strength or personal influence. I'm talking about raw power. For example, the USS Gerald Ford, the largest aircraft carrier, powering itself through the ocean at 40 miles an hour. Or if you show me a video of Mount St. Helens erupting, I cannot look away. The same thing with nuclear bomb tests from the 50s and 60s. I just have to watch. I love to watch regular rocket launches that we now have going up across the country. The Falcon Heavy, for example, and it's just an incredible display of power. It's like 30,000 horsepower rockets. The feeding of the 5,000 was a display of raw power. But in this case, there was a purpose and even a message behind this particular display of power. The feeding of the 5,000 men, plus women and children, is recorded in Matthew 14, Mark, Luke, John 6 and Luke 9. The fact that it is recorded four times is very significant. It's the only miracle besides the resurrection of Jesus that appears in all four Gospels. So what's behind this miracle? What does it really mean? What does it say to us? Well, first let's look at the context, and I'll pull this from Mark's version. We read Matthew's today. Mark tells us that Jesus and his disciples needed some rest. Jesus says to them, "Come away with me by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while." They then traveled to Bethsaida by boat on the Sea of Galilee, so it's a distance of about 4 miles. And all along the lakeside, crowds traveled, massive crowds followed on the shore. And they walked a distance of about 8 miles to get to where Jesus was. Mark 6:34 says, "When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd." The situation was, in fact, impossible. Their only resources, this little band of ministers and apostles, was a little boy's lunch. It consisted of 5 small biscuits and 2 sardines. Jesus took it and blessed it and broke it and multiplied it. He fed this massive crowd, and they all ate and were satisfied. And Matthew tells us 12 basketfuls were left over. In the Old Testament, the great prophet Elisha fed 100 men with 20 barley loaves and a little bit of grain in 2 Kings chapter 4. Elisha's servant tells him, "What will I set before 100 men?" His servant basically said, "This is not enough food for 100 men." Elisha said, "They shall eat and have some left over." I suspect the people of Israel who were following Jesus were familiar with that story with Elisha and that event. Jesus fed not 100 men, but 5,000 men plus women and children. Jesus fed them not with 20 barley loaves, but with only 5 barley loaves. This miracle does tell us some very important things. Number one, it tells us something about the nature of Jesus, but it also tells us some important things about his character. The feeding of the 5,000, this display of immense power and authority over creation, tells us Jesus is who he claimed to be. He is the Son of the Most High God. He is the very Word of God, God himself incarnate. And as we listen to this miracle and reflect on what it means, we're left with the reality that Jesus is, in fact, the Lord of the universe. Nobody else could do what he just did. Just as in creation, he creates something from nothing or from very little. But Jesus also walked on water, healed the blind, raised the dead. We can all be impressed with this, but we still must wrestle with what it means. What are the consequences of this event and what it tells us? If Jesus can do these things, then he must be the Lord of the universe. If he is in fact the Lord, what does it mean for us? Well, I guess first and foremost, I can trust him. If God is God, then by definition, he must be trustworthy. Therefore, Jesus is trustworthy. But there's more. If Jesus is in fact Lord of the universe, then guess what? He's in charge. And here's the hard part. If he's in charge, then I must obey. The season of Lent challenges us to consider how well we are doing at obeying God's will in our lives. It also reminds us to repent when we fail to do what God desires of us, or we do what he doesn't desire for us. So this event tells us about the nature of Jesus. He is the Son of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But it also tells us three important things about his character, and I'll try to move through these briefly. First, we see Jesus actually cares about us. Mark's version, which I quoted earlier, tells us Jesus saw them lost and hungry, and he had compassion on them. He loved them. He cared for them. The needs of the people is what then motivates Jesus to demonstrate this power and authority over creation. This mass of people, the size of, in fact, a good-sized town, comes to him, and he shows them love. We can take from this story that Jesus truly cares. He, in fact, loves us. The second builds on the first. The love of Jesus is not just a feeling, it's an action. In this case, Jesus provides for the people. He becomes the shepherd they so desperately need. He takes care of their physical and spiritual needs. He could have turned them away. Y'all go back to your town and find something to eat. But his love for them compelled him to act, and he feeds them till they're full. Jesus' love for us, then, is an acted upon love for us. He will provide for us when we ask, but he has already provided for us the most important thing we need, the very thing that this season of Lent is pointing us towards, and that is the cross. Through the cross and the empty tomb, Jesus has given us what we need. His love for us is seen in this action on the cross, and through that he's offered to us the forgiveness of sins and eternal glory with God the Father. Third, Jesus loves us, and he acts upon this love, but that love comes to us in abundance, overflowing more than we can even fathom or understand. Matthew's version of the feeding is quick to emphasize this. Jesus started with 5 small barley loaves and 2 sardines, and when the feast is over, they pick up 12 baskets full of leftovers. His love for you is overflowing. His love for me is overflowing, more than we can count, more than we can ask or imagine, as St. Paul says. I pray that we can each use this season of Lent to be reminded of how much God does, in fact, love us. In fact, God loves you as if you're the only one to love. Can you fathom that? It's absolutely amazing. And we see his love demonstrated for us as Jesus willingly walks the way of the cross, allows himself to be nailed to the cross, and then gives up his life for us. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. How much Jesus was willing to endure for you and for me, even more I pray we can discover that anew this season of Lent, that we can find new ways to not only experience his overflowing love for us, but to share that same overflowing love with others. That's our call as Christians, as disciples of Jesus, to share the love, transforming love of Jesus with others. I invite you this morning to stand in awe with me at the wonder, at the power of our God, and to praise him for this power, a power that can create something out of nothing, a power that's so full of abundant love that it can change lives. In fact, it can change the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.